Blog Talk Radio. Voter suppression isn't always
that what they did is what they don't do. Lack of communication, causing confusion during the vote is also forms of voter suppression. And we are seeing this time and time again in the rural parts of the state where, one, people are going, you know, you only got one precinct open and you got people driving miles to the county seat to go vote at the county courthouse or wherever it is that they've designated to be. And, you know, it's a little, you know, I probably, people in Metro Atlanta say, well, we drive all over the place, but no, you got multiple voting facilities in the counties in Metro Atlanta. And it's a different type of drive, you know, when you're driving across a county that may be the size of DeKalb or Gwinnett or even larger, and you're going to the courthouse in that place. Think about it, if we were only in DeKalb County, if you were only allowed to vote in Decatur at the county courthouse. Okay, think about that. Not the voter registration office on Memorial Drive or the Sam's Club, former Sam's Club in Stonecrest, but you had to go to Decatur, to the courthouse, to the square down there to go vote. You had to come from Dunwoody, Chambly, Lithonia, Stone Mountain to go vote. Now think about somebody in rural Georgia having to make that ride. It's a little different ride. I'm going to tell y'all, you, a country mile and a city mile is a different type. It is. It's a different type of, it's a different ride. So we have these issues happening here. And then you get to talking about what's going on in Atlanta with the long lines. And you got similar situations that are happening, but you got different types of people running the operation, and you would think that it would be different. You know, we could easily go, okay, rural Georgia is run primarily by the Republicans, so we can understand that being voter suppression and this, that, and the other, and the third down there. But then when you get to Fulton and DeKalb, you get to asking questions because these are nominally Democratic strongholds in which the county parties and the courts usually have a say in who is appointed to the Board of Elections. Most, you know, my understanding, I'm a former member of the Board of Elections in Troop County. And all the boards of election do not operate the same. That's one of the things about home rule in Georgia, local control, is that we have 159 counties in the state of Georgia, and you can almost count that there's probably 155 ways of doing things. But you got maybe a couple of counties that might do it exactly the same way. But for the most part, there's 159 counties and 159 ways of doing it. There's no standard anything. So what works in your county may not be what works in the county next door, nor in the county up north or county down south. It does not work that way. So I know in Troop, the Republicans get 2 seats. Democrats got 2 seats. Well, no, we get 1. The Republicans get 1. We get 1. The county gets 1, and each of the cities get a pick to the Board of Election. And DeKalb may be a little bit different. I know that the county party that has some picks. I know that there are some appointments that take place by Superior Court judges, and it is just completely out of whack about who the members are, and even what's going on in the office of that. The actual staff works in. because it makes no sense whatsoever. It makes no sense whatsoever for there to be the type of line and stuff in DeKalb County, because you got 30 machines in the room and you're only operating 10. I mean, turn them all on, get as many people through as possible. If they start falling off, okay, we get that. But from my understanding, from being in this situation, you got extra machines that are off as a redundancy. And I would prefer to start out full power and let that fall off and fix them as they go down, instead of, okay, one goes down, we turn on another one, da 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 da. And sometimes you go to turn on the other one, the spare, and it doesn't start up. So you still end up losing machines. So you might as well just turn everything off. But that's not how they're thinking. I don't know where they get that process from. I don't know who thought about it, but that shit is not cool. But at the same time, the lines are also beacons of hope. Because what we have here is an increased level of turnout. It is actually being predicted that turnout here in 2020 will surpass turnout for 2008. Do you hear what I'm saying? 2008, for the couple of listeners who may have been a little too young to realize and remember, 2008, the year that Barack Obama was elected, and we have many people who have always kind of based turnout numbers on that. And this year could surpass that, meaning that we're getting ready to blow this thing out of the water. It's fixing to be off the chain. And this shows the work that has went in over the last year, 2 years, that we've went putting out the message of how important it is to vote, how important it is to engage the voters after we register them. People are prepared to go out and let their voices be heard. And they're doing it in numbers we've not seen in a while. Now, the numbers are – you got long lines. You got a lot of people who are dropping off ballots in Dropbox. And as people are preparing to go stand in these lines, you know, organizations have stepped up and decided, well, you know, if people are going to be in lines 4 and 5 hours, they're going to need to eat. They're going to need water. There's things that they're going to need. They need to go to the bathroom. Somebody needs to hold their spot in line. So people, you know, organizations have went out to attempt to alleviate this particular problem. And again, the Republicans are making a stink, trying to say, okay, that's illegal. These people can't be doing this. You can't, you basically influencing the vote. I promise you, there's no vote influencing. You're not influencing nobody's vote in that line. I promise you this. By the time you made it to that line, you pretty much have made up your mind who you voting for. And if you're in a majority Democratic precinct, you can almost be guaranteed that everybody in that line is going to go vote for Democrat. And if there are any Republican voters in that line, you ain't swaying their mind either. Because you got to be a tough son of a gun to be African-American, Republican, and living in a Democratic district. You ain't going to change your mind. That ain't happening. So, basically, they just want us to get out of line and not go vote. That's a form of voter suppression. They hope that people are going to give up and say, hey, I can't do this. And so they know that we're out there trying our best to make it easier for folks to do their duty to stand in these lines. And I'm kind of upset with the GIA or whatever it is, WIGA, which is Channel 11 in Atlanta, for even going there, trying to see if this was legal or not, asking the question. Because I don't think we've been doing this for like last 3-4 years, if not longer, you know, making people, supporting the voters in the line. And I think this was just a story of gang raiding to bring this light. And they said, oh, we, you know, is this legal, da, da, da. Because this is the thing. We've always known that within 100 feet of 150 feet of the precinct, the campaigns cannot bring campaign swag, T-shirts, materials into that space. Well, New Georgia Project is not a campaign committee. The NAACP is not a campaign committee. You know, Rep Georgia, Black Voter Project, Black Male Voter Project, Black Votes Matter, all of these different organizations that you might see helping do voter support are not campaigns. They're not promoting, well, at least officially, they're not promoting any candidate over another. It's just about, we want you to go out there and exercise your right to vote. Now, if you look at the people who run these organizations, they're probably primarily Democrat. But I've watched these organizations work. They have been primarily engaged in the work of getting people registered and understanding the system. I've never heard any of them really push a particular candidate. They told people where to vote, when to vote, and how you go about the job of voting. You know, how do you, you know, if you're early voting, make sure that you don't do this, do that, take your ID, that type of stuff. It's been primarily voter education, letting people know, hey, you can go vote. You need to go vote now. You registered, go exercise. And what we got now is just blatant voter suppression in that aspect. Because we've adapted and said, okay, we're going to stand these lines. We're going to ask these people to stand 8 hours in this line. And so since they're going to stand there, we're going to make sure we're going to feed them. Make sure that if they need to go to the restroom, that we got somebody to hold their spot in line so that they can go use the restroom. You would think that the Secretary of State of Georgia, since you created the conditions in which people got to stand there, you wouldn't want people to have to suffer to exercise their right. But that is the goal that you have. Okay, y'all want to go vote. You got the right, but you're going to suffer for it. That is blatant voter suppression. It is inhumane. I really wish somebody would challenge the constitutionality of this, of making human beings suffer to exercise their rights. Because asking somebody to stand in a line for 8 hours without food, water, or the ability to relieve themselves is cruel and unusual punishment for a crime you have not committed. Now, I know Republicans probably should say, well, if you want to know you're going to be in line that long, then come prepared. You know, bring your own chair, bring your own food, this, that, and the other. Okay. But I promise you, at some point in time, you'll find some kind of way to figure out why that's illegal. Maybe somebody brings a lunch bag with President Obama's face on it, and y'all trip about it. Or somebody supports an ACC team versus an SEC team. Something, y'all will find some kind of way to suppress the vote. But we as citizens, we as voters, have to make sure that we continue to press the battle. Because I say it time and time again, politics is warfare without bloodshed. Politics is warfare without bloodshed. We have met the enemy. We are engaged. We have to assess, adapt, and overcome all resistance. Because our goal is to go make sure that our voices are heard and that no one will stop us from making that happen. We cannot have any excuses other than the fact they just done physically stopped us. And if that is happening, that somebody is physically impeding your right to go vote, then you need to make sure that you call the vote. There's hotlines all over the place. Organizations have stacks of lawyers, stacks on stacks on stacks of lawyers who are prepared, who know election law, who are prepared to go seek legal remedy to any voter intimidation tactics. We're going to have a couple people probably fall through the crack and they're going to be able to vote. They're just inevitable. There will be casualties. And when I say casualties, people who just are not going to be able. But the more of us good that go out there and attempt this fight, the more of us who go out and push the system, the more likely we're going to get the outcomes that we're looking for. We have to make sure we stay in line. Make sure that you are dropping off your ballots in the drop box. You know, if you have questions, the hotlines also you can use them as. Do you understand how to, you know, fill out your absentee ballot? Do you know the proper places to sign? Do you know that you need the to make sure you got the proper combination of envelopes and sleeves? You know, do you know where the closest drop box is to your residence or wherever you're going to be coming from to drop off your ballot? Also, there's attempts to disrupt that. People are putting up, you know, alternative drop box place, you know, saying, okay, you can come drop off your votes, your ballots with us, and then we'll take them to the drop box. Be careful with that. If at all costs, your ballot to the drop boxes yourself. Have family members take drop. You know, I at this point would be very skeptical of doing anybody that's doing ballot harvesting, as they call it, because there's a whole little situation going on out in California with the GOP with this. We got to be careful. we have to be careful, because evil has great imagination and is looking for ways to stop us from saving our democracy. There's a lot going on out here. We got to stay vigilant. We have to stay on top of the battle. We have to continue to be prepared and ready. To exercise our rights for us to be heard. So, I'm going to take a run back to some of the developments that have taken place in the metro area. And then I'm going to come back and circle back about things that are going on down in rural Georgia. Because of the long lines that have been taking place in DeKalb, Democratic Party Chairman John Jackson has lit a fire up under the Board of Elections there, which has now caused the Democratic Party of Georgia to get involved. And they're pressing the battle. Because DeKalb County is the bluest of blue counties in the state. And it makes no sense that we got a government that is run nominally by Democrats that is not being, that's not being able to support the aims and goals of the party that got them elected. Now, the county commission has been giving resources to that office, from what I'm understanding through reports. And it's just been a failed evolution to allocate those resources by the people who are in charge. We cannot allow that type of failure to continue to happen under our watches. And I applaud Chairman Jackson for his efforts to go full lit man on their behind and for solutions. We can no longer just sit around and play get along, you know, go along to get along and not hurt people's feelings when they're not doing their job. If they're not doing their job, they have to be held accountable, regardless if they're Democrats or they're Republicans or independents, nonpartisans. They have to be, if they were elected or appointed by our government, then we have a job as citizens to hold them accountable to the jobs that they're doing. We can't just say, oh, we're going to, you know, support a brother, support a sister just because there's a brother or sister in that job, or there's a Democrat in that job, or there's a woman in that job, or there's some type of minority in that job. If they're not doing their job, then they're not doing a service to us. It does us no good to have representation that looks like us. That representation does not live up to the standards that we seek for ourselves. I don't need you to be the nicest, sweetest person in the world. I need you to be able to get the job done. And most citizens want that. Can you get the job done? Now, if you're rude and screwing up, that's a whole other situation, and that's what we deal with a lot of the time. We got people who are going to tell us that, you know, this is my seat, or this is my position, and I got mine, you got to get yours type of deal. people who look down their noses at the people who employ them. We have to remember that this is America and how screwed up we might be sometimes. The Constitution of the United States of America starts with the three words, we the people. The power of the government is derived from those who are governed here in this United States of America. Inside of this representative democracy, inside of this constitutional republic, we the people are where the government derives its power. It just does not have power that just pops up out of anywhere just by sheer happenstance. That power is generated and distributed from the people. So when the people are not getting the service or the resources that we have hired these people to allocate, and we end up getting substandard, subpar outcomes, we as a people have an obligation to fire them. Whether it's through the ballot box, political pressure, whatever tools we have in our toolbox, we need to do that. I understand these jobs are not easy. That, to be honest with you, there are very few jobs that are just really just easy. But the jobs have to be done. I'm assured that these people are making really great salaries. I know they're making more money than I am as a blue-collar worker, a part-time political consultant. I know they're making more money than me. And everybody who contributes to my income in some form of fashion is always attempting to hold me accountable for the coins that they're giving me. So why do we can't hold these people accountable for the coins we're giving them? Do y'all hear me? It is no reason that you have democratic governments representing democratic people and democratic people are having a hard time voting for democratic candidates. Like I said, I can understand in Republican strongholds where that might be an issue, seeing as that the present climate operates. But not. And then, let's take and put another layer on top of this. How do I have black officials with black voters attempting to vote for black candidates, making it hard for black people to vote? How is that? It makes no sense. None. That ain't even voter suppression. That's just negligence. That's pure laziness. This is why we have the issues that we see in our communities, talking about people not voting. This is why we hear people talking about leaving the party. This is why you have people talking about voting Republican. This is why we have people who are talking about certain groups of black folks not voting for other groups of black folks. Because we get one or two bad apples who are lazy and derelict in their duty, who feel like they are above the rest of us, who will not do their job. It's unacceptable, and it can no longer be tolerated, because for the republic to survive, for the republic to thrive, we have to have individuals who are willing to be, who are willing to serve and to be served up. Because, see, this is what we get it jacked up sometimes, is that we look at representatives and we see them as leaders. Now, let me break this down to you from a business aspect. If you work for a corporation and you are a representative for that corporation, and your job is to go negotiate with vendors, or to do purchasing, or as a salesman, or as a contract negotiator, but you, and you are a representative of your company, you do what the CEO and the board and your bosses tell you to do. You don't get to go in there and make unilateral decisions. You speak on behalf of the organization. And we all understand this at work. But when it comes to government, we will send our representatives, and our representatives believe that they are leaders and that they are in charge. Therefore, they get to do what they want to do instead of what we ask them to do. That has to stop. Because what that is leading to is another part of voter suppression, which is not necessarily active, but a very passive voter suppression, which is called voter apathy. When we start saying, you know, it doesn't make a difference. We elect these people every 2-4 years. They go to the state capitol. They go to the commission office. They go to Washington. And they go do what they want to go do. Some of the policies that they are championing, we've never even had a chance to have input on. Some think tank came up with it. They did a focus group in a state. Not that that wasn't ours. And they came up with a policy that was going to govern us that we don't even understand. That the our representatives feel as if it is an inconvenience to hold a town hall. And that leads to voter apathy, which is another form of voter suppression. We got whole communities that candidates will not go into because these people don't vote. And then when you go talk to them, a lot of you talk to people, well, I've never voted because nobody never came and said anything to me. People don't understand. And some of you will go, well, since they don't understand, they probably don't need to vote. No, they need to be educated. They need to be engaged. Because these people will make the difference between winning and losing, having universal health care and not having universal health care, having free college tuition or continue to have to pay high tuition. It's the difference between continuing to die of the coronavirus and finding a vaccine. It is the difference between going to war and having peace. It is the difference between climate change, doing something about climate change, and continuing the status quo. In this republic, it is the job of those of us who have decided to engage ourselves in this political space to be ombudsmen for the unengaged, for those who don't have time to study and to become engaged in a very high level. Because if you're poor in America, you're worried about survival. Politics is a game that most people see for those who are middle, upper middle class and rich people. Very few of the poor see politics as the way to alleviate their issues, because they are worried of how they're going to put a roof over their head, food in their bellies, clothe themselves and their children on a minimum wage. That is $7.25 here in the United States of America. Some of them don't even know that there are fights for 15, that there are fights for a living wage. And if they hear about it, it sounds like a joke, because it ain't happening. Because the people who are fighting for it, in most cases, are making a living wage. We're making $15 an hour on rent. This thing not necessarily hurts us. We may have been in that position at one point in time, but now we're not. So the urgency to get it done isn't there. Because what happens if you work for an organization that's fighting for 15 and we get to 15? You work yourself out of a job. And that should be our goal, work ourselves out of a job. I hope y'all hearing me this morning. Because every time we fail to do the things that I am talking about, we are engaging in voter suppression. And it's not always our people. And I'm not dogging my side. What I am doing is pointing out the opportunity for us to improve our process. This is a exercise in Six Sigma and Lean. This is an ongoing swoops and swats analysis. What are our strengths? What are our weaknesses? What are our opportunities? What are our strengths? What are our weaknesses? What are our advantages? And how do we target them? Our strengths are that we have the boots on the ground to have the conversations that we need to have to engage our voters. What are our weaknesses? That we are lazy. We want to go where we are comfortable. But again, and I will continue to say it, I will put it on T-shirts. I will put it on flags. I will put it on everything that I can find to put it on till y'all get it. Politics is warfare without bloodshed. We are at war, people. We are at war. And the question is, do you want to win? Or do you just want the perpetual continuation of the fight forever and ever and ever? Because I'm going to tell you, right now, I felt inspired when I pulled into Warner Robins, Georgia yesterday. I got off 75 and I started heading down what is Watson Boulevard. And as I pulled up to Succeed, I seen black T-shirts and hoodies filling the block. All of those hoodies said Black Voters Matter. There were folks outside that were feeding the community some of the best fish that I've tasted in a long time, engaging them with music and literature and words of encouragement about going to go vote. And then I stepped inside the building, and there were more black t-shirts and more black sweatshirts. The boots on the ground were getting briefed and debriefed about the mission at hand. And intermixed with those, there were the plain clothes members of the Democratic Party who were poring over voter data and looking to where we will strike next. How do we get the voters in this county ready to go vote this upcoming week? How do we go out and touch them? I was inspired. I was inspired that I seen black women and black men in a room united, prepared to go fight. Then candidates were coming in and out. You know, dropping off literature, picking up literature, because this is a staging point of what is a very combined operation. It felt like if you, I know my Army and Marine Corps buddies are probably can visualize this and get feeling. You know how you got your tent where the officers and the senior NCOs are going in to get briefed, and they're talking about the strategies and the tactics of today's battle, where we're sending patrols, where are our hot spots, who are the elders out in the Ville that you need to go talk to, how are we going to do supplies that are needed. That was that buzz in the atmosphere. Work was getting done. There was, and this was no Zoom calls. These were actual people masked up because we were tight. So we couldn't really get social distancing. But folks had their masks on, doing prepared to do what they needed to do. They dispersed out into the community with their lit in hand, data in hand, to go make sure that people were engaged and had the proper information, knew where to find resources to make sure that they can complete their mission of going to vote. That's how they do it in rural Georgia. And then I took a little ride next door to Peach County, Georgia, to go visit the chairman of the Democratic Party there. We had some discussion. And he was explaining to me the challenges that they had been facing over the last couple of months, the challenges that they see, he sees that they are facing coming into the next year after the elections are over with as we prepare, because what we fail to realize is that this is not over. Only the presidential elections will be over November 3rd. There may be some runoffs, but then we will start gearing up for municipal elections, because city councils run on odd years. So you got places like Atlanta, Warner Robins, LaGrange, Perry. You got a whole lot of cities that will be reelecting city council members and mayors next year. So people are going to breathe from November 3rd to probably sometime January, middle of January. They will breathe, get some rest, and start all over again. Now the question is, how do we take the lesson of 2020 and engage 2021? Because see, this is ironic, because you know how they say hindsight is 2020. What did you learn from this year? Where do we find hope to end the suppression? How do we move forward? How do we become stronger, healthier, and more united in the endeavors of winning by our communities and our society? How do we make it happen? We got a lot of work to do. Lots of work to do. But I can tell you one thing, as I've been traveling this state over the last couple of months, I'm proud of the work that I see being done by the folks in the grassroots, the local county parties, particularly in rural Georgia. They don't have the resources that we have in the metro. I'm proud of the work that I see my home county of Troop doing, the fight that they are preparing for. Because they are ground zero, probably one of the biggest political fights in Georgia right now. Because the Democratic minority of the state house in the Georgia General Assembly, Bob Trammell, represents the 132nd district of the state of Georgia, which encompasses parts of Troop County, which is a stronghold for him as a Democrat. You know, a lot of y'all go, hold on, Troop County, a Democratic stronghold? Yes, particularly in the prospects of holding that seat, which has been Democratic. What that particular seat and its the iterations of that seat have been Democratic probably since the end of the Reconstruction. But because that seat is now held by the minority leader, he has a target on his back. And folks in Troop County have been working their butts off to defend that seat. I'll be there next Saturday, not only because that's the date, that's Saturday voting, and you know that's the day that I'll be able to go vote, but Bob is having a rally in Lafayette Square in the shadows of the Marquis de Lafayette, who was a champion of American freedom. To get folks to come out and vote. So we can defend our representatives. Because all they want is the seat. They don't care nothing about the people. They just want the seat. We have somebody in that seat who cares. There's a lot of work to do. And I'm proud, like I said, I'm proud of all the people I see around the state that are doing the work. The John Jacksons. The Franika Millers. The Pat Dardens. The Bianca Keegans. The Willawana Tuckers. The Bobby Fuses. The Charles Johnson. Pete Fuller, June Christ, Sarah Todd, Ryan Bennett, Cheryl Boyd, Sakara Johnson, Melissa Klink, the Quartermain. Quentin Howell, Latoya Howell, Liz Johnson, Joyce Greaves, Lisa Ring, Jimmy Glean, Nakima Williams, Scott Hogan, Justin Pitts. Candace, I can't remember your last name. But Candace over the DPJ, I can't remember your last name. Adrian White, Justin Estevez, B. Wynn, Ted Terry, and numerous other Democratic leaders across the state. If I missed your name, don't charge it to my head, not my heart. But there's so many of us that are out here doing the fight. Newcomers like Courtney Driver, who brought her Democratic experience from California to places like Warner Robins. Somebody who once worked on the campaign for Kamala Harris when she was running for Attorney General for the state of California. We now have that person here in Georgia, in rural Georgia, middle Georgia, Houston County, who is now the vice chair of Veterans. The Veterans and Military Families Caucus, who's been working tirelessly in this, you know, building, trying to help build infrastructure in this community. So we have connections like that throughout Georgia. You know, those of us, those people who've been lifelong Democrats, people like me who once upon a time were black conservatives, who have seen the light of progress. And unity to people who are moving from all over the state, because Georgia is a great state, a wonderful place to live. We just got some things we need to fix. But there are people coming together from diverse backgrounds seeking to be the change they want to see. Let's continue the good fight. Let's continue to press the battle. Live the experience. Learn the lesson. Then let's go whoop their ass. Because we have to win this fight. This election is probably one of the most important elections we will ever have a chance to vote in. Do not sit at home. Do not leave your ballot unfilled out and not dropped off. Do not get out of line under no circumstance. They are counting on us giving up. Donald Trump said, it was leaked, that he believes that black people do not have initiative. Let's prove the liar to be the liar that he is. Show them that we will stand, and that when our grandchildren are studying history and they look at the 2020 election, they know that their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents stood. Just like today, we look at our parents, our great-grandparents, our grandparents and great-grandparents for fighting. You know, 60, 70 years ago, black men were finally given the honor of being able to fight fascism. You had the Tuskegee Airmen. You had the infantry regiments that fought in Italy. They had a chronicle in Spike Lee's movie. What's the movie's name? Saint shit. Why can't I remember that? I'm going to have to look that up now. Spike Lee movies. And I'll be telling you in a minute. Miracle at St. Anna, which chronicles the fight that we, you know, that black infantrymen were having in Italy. We come from a very diverse and storied background and culture. Let's continue to give our children history to learn and to be proud of. Stay in line. Drop off your ballots. Let your voices be heard. Because I'm sitting there looking out of the window for why I've set up my studio today here to see. And on the wall it says, better together. We are better when we're together. So let's stand together in these lines. Let's stand together at the drop box so that we can stand together at these inaugurations and swearing in ceremonies that will hopefully be the beginning of a new era where we rebuild America, that we drain, that we grab America away from the cliff, from the edge of uncivility. And truly make America great forever. So we can stamp out the scourge of supremacy. And we can truly show the world how exceptional we really are as Americans. Not going to keep y'all much longer, but let's maintain. Let's keep the faith. Let's go out here and win. This is Down South and Dirty, broadcasting live from Succeed Cowork in Warner Robins, Georgia. Georgia, let's go vote. Let's go win. Let's turn Georgia blue. This is Down South and Dirty, and we're out. Peace.